talk, the opinions, the panel.
Yeah, welcome into the panel, James Regan and Ollie Ritchie. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good morning. Of course, the news coming out this morning, slowly leaking out that we have COVID in the All Black camp. No Ian Foster, no John Plumtree. They're isolating at home. David Harvili and Jack Goodhue aren't with the team. Braden Inor has been called into the squad. I think I've seen more people worried about who's going to coach the team then worry about who's going to play in midfield. So many calls for get Razor in. Ollie, I know that you'll be on that bandwagon, mate. What do you think the All Blacks will do? Have they got enough in, you know, old Stormy McLeod to run the ship if they need to against Ireland?
Yeah, I think they do. Ricardo, I think by the sounds of it, it'll be Brad Moore and Scott McLeod kind of acting as co-coaches during the week. In a way, Ian Foster will still have input over Zoom, as will John Plumtree, as much input as you can possibly have over Zoom. But yeah, I certainly understand Brad Moore and Scott McLeod will act as co-coaches during the week. Look, it's not ideal. Of course, it's not. You know, first test of the year against Ireland, obviously. You know, the storyline around that redemption and after what happened in Dublin, it's far from ideal losing two coaches and two All Blacks. But, you know, this is the world we live in now, unfortunately. And, you know, it's no great surprise to see at some point these guys go down with it. It's just unfortunate that it's happened when it has happened. But, you know, they'll find a way. They always do. But, yeah, certainly not ideal. Not an ideal way to start.
Not an ideal way to start at all. And, James, of course, I think there's a lot of people, particularly from Ollie's part of the world, that would have said David Harvili and Jack Goodhue should be the All Black starting midfield. They're obviously not available. So the question is, what happens now? I know you love your rugby league. Is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck the answer? Is he ready to start a test against the Irish at 12?
Yeah, it's funny. It's probably the position you would not want to miss out on at the moment with those two guys, especially David Havili was probably my pick for number 12 with Ioane at 13. So maybe they do have to call Roger in. It would shock me if he starts and probably even plays in this first test, as bad as it is. It is a bit of a disaster for the All Blacks and their ability, their famed ability to improvise and to kind of overcome these challenges will be really tested against what I expect to be a really good Ireland side. So, yeah, it's a huge blow for those guys, no doubt, especially, I think, missing Havili and Goodhue. That's just massive for them.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that have been confirmed. The information I had before the All Blacks made an official statement was that Quintu Paia and Will Jordan were also questionable, and I don't know if that's COVID or something else. But obviously that brings up something else there, Ollie. I mean, if that is true and those two aren't available, I think a lot of people were going, well, maybe you play Geordie at 12 and Will Jordan can play at fullback. But if he's not available, what do they do? I mean, did they play Mwanga at 10 and play Bodie at 15? Is that an option?
Yeah, well, it's offering up all sorts of conundrums, really, isn't it? I understand Quintu Paia may have taken a knock during camp in Mount Maunganui, their first camp there. And so that may not be COVID-related. It may be COVID-related, of course, you know, because with that virus, when one's got it, two's got it, then four and five have got it before you know it, so it can spread pretty easily. Look, I would be probably bringing Geordie Barrett into the midfield. I know Foster said that he doesn't see him as a 12, but, you know, they find themselves in a situation where they're going to have to think differently, I think. So if that is the case, you know, I'm still not convinced rushing Roger Tuivasa-Sheck into the starting lineup is the answer. You've got Geordie Barrett, who's an experienced All Black, has played at 12, not for the All Blacks, but for the Hurricanes this season. I would slot him in there, move Will Jordan to fullback if Will Jordan is available. If Will Jordan's not available, then you're looking at a Bowden to fullback, Richie Mwanga to start at 10. The good thing is the All Blacks have all these options, and in a funny way, all their experimenting that they've done over the past couple of years with the whole, you know, dual playmakers, Bowden at 15, Richie at 10, you know, it's almost like starting to pay dividends right now because they can fall back on those guys to go back into those positions if need be. I'd say that's the most likely outcome. if indeed Quintu Pyre and Will Jordan find themselves unable to play as well.
Yeah, indeed. It's coming up 10:30. We've got news and sport with Araha. This is the panel. When we come back, we'll continue to talk international rugby with the Māori All Blacks in action on Wednesday against the touring Irish. We'll also talk rugby league and cricket with the panel after this.
Big talk, big opinions, the panel. Talk to
me, yeah. James Regan and Ollie Ritchie with us on the panel today. And Ollie, New Zealand, well, I was going to say New Zealand Māori. I'm still getting used to saying the Māori All Blacks are in action on Wednesday. We, of course, saw them pick up some reinforcements last week. And I know one of those will have you pretty excited. Do you expect Cullen Grace to be starting at 8 now that he's been called in on Wednesday?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I think this is a great opportunity for a guy like Cullen Grace. Badly unlucky to miss out on the All Blacks. Been one of the Crusaders' best all year and showed at the business end of that super season. You know, particularly I look back on the semi-final and final performance, real statement performances from Cullen Grace, I think. He will be playing at 8 for the Māori All Blacks, a big chance against Ireland for him to show those All Black coaches who, you know, a couple of those selectors will have a bit of time on their hands now to watch a bit more code while they isolate at home. To show them just what they're missing out on. You know, I think he is in the All Blacks picture. There is no doubt about that. We haven't seen the last of Cullen Grace in an All Blacks jersey. So, you know, in a way, his timely call up to the Māori All Blacks just presents that opportunity once again to show them what they're missing out on. And the same can be said for Brad Weber and TJ Petanata. Brad Weber will get the nod at halfback, I understand, and TJ Petanata coming off the bench. You know, both who are desperate to fight their way back into the All Blacks frame and showing and Foster and co that they can still be a part of the All Blacks future, even with that logjam they have it at halfback at the moment. So it's a big series, a couple of tests coming up for a lot of those All Blacks who are sitting on the fringe at the moment that are trying to break in.
Yeah, it's an interesting one too, James, that we saw Sam Knott called up from the Blues, who's of course been understudy to Finlay Christie, as a third halfback option for the Māori All Blacks. I mean, for me, he's not a bad player, but he certainly hasn't set it alight. I thought they might have brought in somebody a bit younger to give them a taste of that sort of environment, someone like a Cortez Ratama. What did you think of that call-up?
Yeah, it was interesting, and it kind of just, what it does show is the stack of halfbacks that we've got at our disposal at the moment. It's a pretty hard group to break into. So any experience you can give any of those guys, you mentioned Cortez, exactly, you know. So it'd be great to see him called up eventually and given a go. But one thing's for sure, if you want to break into that group of top halfbacks at the moment, you're going to have to be really on your game. So it's a good chance for a lot of these guys, this Ireland series, to show that. And getting towards the World Cup, which is going to come around pretty fast, so you get the feeling there's not much room for mistakes at the moment as well.
No, there's not much room at all. In fact, I just have seen the team has actually officially been announced now for Wednesday's game. Ollie Norris, Kurt Eklund, Tyrell Lomax, the front row, Josh Dixon, Isaiah Walker, Liaweri, the locks, Cameron Suafoa, Billy Harmon and Cullen Grace, the Lucies, Brad Weber, Josh Uwani are the halves, and Connor Garden-Bashup and Sean Stevenson are the wings, with Rameka Puiapi and Billy Proctor in the midfield, Zane Sullivan playing fullback, Tyrone Thompson, Tamiti Williams, Jermaine Ainsley, Manaki Selby Rickett, TK Howden, TJ Piranata, Ruben Love and Baylen Sullivan are the reserves. All right, gentlemen, let's take a look at some rugby league. We had, James, a great game, well, a couple of great games actually, on Saturday night at Mount Smart Stadium. And boy, I wonder where all the Kiwi League fans were, because I know where all the Tongan League fans were.
Yeah, they were pretty hard to miss, weren't they? It was, regardless of the action on the field, first of all, it was a great day for New Zealand Rugby League off it, and that they should be applauded for how they kind of rolled that out. I think they had 8 weeks to get that day together. And the media they gave access during the week was amazing too. And so off the field it was really good, but on the field, man, the Kiwis, they look really good. They looked really good, and they should be really excited for this World Cup coming up. It's very early, but it's probably theirs to lose, bearing in mind that the Kangaroos might not get a game before that World Cup as well. So Michael Maguire will be really happy with what he saw. And in terms of the fans, you're right. There were a stack of Tongans in there. I think I saw maybe a handful of Kiwis, but In terms of the atmosphere, I'm going to the All Blacks game next week as a fan, and I know the New Zealand Rugby PR team could only dream of getting an atmosphere like that for the pre-match huckers. It was just, it was next level. I think there was 27,000 or something. It sounded like there was 50. It was insane.
Yeah, I was doing sideline commentary from it. It was pretty damn loud down there, got to be said. I mean, Ollie, it feels like, I mean, I know we're talking rugby league, but there's probably going to be as much green as there is black at Eden Park on the weekend. But what did you make of that and the crowd and the way that the Kiwis performed against that Tongan side?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Jimmy just alluded to there. I wasn't at the game. I was watching from home, but just on the TV, it looked amazing. It's a sea of red. The All Blacks will be hoping they don't see a sea of green at Eden Park. And I don't think it'll quite be like that. But yeah, man, when those Tongan fans come out, they are just really special, and they make that atmosphere so great. And you know, the Mata Mata Tonga would have got a huge lift from that, I'm sure. But yeah, in terms of the Kiwis, that was exactly what I wanted to see in a World Cup year. And it's easier to forget that, you know, there hasn't been international rugby league for quite some time. So for them to put a performance like that out there, that almost puts them, you know, maybe not as World Cup favourites, because the Kangaroos will be really good, but they should be feeling very confident ahead of that World Cup. Johnny Manu at fullback was impressive, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, 404 metres it's been updated to, according to the official stats he ran for, which I think is the first time in international rugby league that somebody has run for that much, that many metres.
Yeah, just ridiculous how many metres he ran for, and the sort of effort he put in. You know, that was a bit of an experiment, I'm sure, and you know, there were probably a few options to take the one jersey for the Kiwis, but, you know, Michael Maguire must be feeling pretty good about, you know, what he can put out and the performance his team can put out, and, you know, get a bit more time together, right, and, you know, a few weeks in camp, and, you know, heading off to a World Cup, that team could be really dangerous.
Yeah, they're looking really good. Well, we should talk about one more Kiwi team before we finish on the panel, gentlemen, and that is the Black Caps. They haven't been looking particularly dangerous, but I tell you what has been, is that, and that's a spinner at Headingley, a guy who can bowl with a ball that's 13 overs old in the first innings and take five for, and then can take the new ball in the second innings and take five for 10 for the match. If only, James, there was a spinner in the Black Caps squad that was able to take 10 for in a match that we could have played here.
Yeah, it makes you think, doesn't it? I think that'll probably be the thing we get out of this series when it comes to the Black Caps, right, is the selections and where this team kind of goes, because they're the best team in the world. That is absolutely no doubt about that when it comes to overall test rankings and everything. But you've got to progress, right, and you've got to be able to adapt, and you've got to be able to bring someone in, and you've got to be brave as well with selections sometimes. So it's worked. The system they've gone for has worked for the past however many years, 4 or 5 years. But now maybe it's probably time to think about bring something different, or being able to bring something different to that, because England have, they've made it look fairly easy at times, haven't they?
They have. I mean, you know, one of our own showing us up a wee bit, Ollie, and the way that Baz has had this English team playing, he's had them playing like New Zealand used to play. It feels like we've got a bit stayed under Gary Stead. I mean, we're going to get swept in England in the Test Series, and we've drawn home Test Series against both Bangladesh and a South African team that is rebuilding. Is it time for a change?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the Brendan McCullum impact. I didn't think we'd quite be seeing Joe Root sweep or reverse sweeping Neil Wagner for six as early as we are yet. This is the bold and brave new English team we're encountering. Questions need to be asked. Our selection is all over the show. We pick a spinner for Lords. We bowl him for two overs. We don't pick Neil Wagner for the first two tests, a known wicket taker for the Black Caps. And then we find ourselves in the third test, an older ball that's doing a bit, and we don't have our specialist spinner in the team. I mean, what are we doing? What is Gary Stead doing? It's just getting ridiculous at the moment. And, you know, this is a proud Black Caps team with a very passionate fan base back here who have done some amazing things over the past few years. But just right now, it seems like things are not clicking. I don't know whether it's, you know, Stead and Tay not singing from the same song sheet or what. But yeah, I think questions need to be asked, because we have not got the selections right at all. over this test series, and we're paying for it because we're being outplayed, outmatched, outmuscled, outfought by what is now a very good England team, and one of our best to ever wear the silver fern is helping mastermind it. So it's not been pretty.
No, as you see, he's managed to turn Stuart Broad into Trent Bolt with a bat too, which is impressive. So, you know, which is always good to see. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the panel today. I really appreciate your time. I know, Ollie, you'll be chasing AB's stories, and James, you'll be keeping busy as well off the back of Origin last night. I'll let you two gentlemen go so you can get on with your days, but I really appreciate your time. Go well.
Thanks, Ben.